This is Dating While Gray, the grown-up's guide to love, sex, and relationships. I'm Laura Stassi. On this show, of course we talk about dating. It's right there in the title. As the subtitle indicates, we talk about other stuff too. There are myriad issues involved with seeking, finding, and keeping love in the later years of life. In almost 100 shows, I've talked with experts and everyday folks alike. Many of you have thoughts about what you've heard. I'm sharing some in today's episode as I open the listener mailbag. I started dating while gray after emigrating from married land to singles world. I was in my late 50s. I had no idea who else around my age might be looking for love, or even if it was possible to find it. The show premiered in 2020, and it quickly hit a nerve. Immediately, I got emails and voicemails from people all over the country, eventually all over the world, commenting on something they heard, sharing an experience, or asking a question, including these.
Yeah, Laura, I'm on the road and I'm traveling from Florida back home to my home state of Pennsylvania. I just identified so much with what the men that you interviewed were saying, the women, and I applaud you for taking this on and, you know, putting the words around so much angst and what it's like to be out there wanting to share your life with someone, wanting to be vulnerable, but to have someone mutually.
I think it's important to talk about these things and to listen to other people. So you're doing a great job.
I really enjoy your podcast. I've been waiting for something like this since most of the dating podcasts are for the younger generations. I'm 66 years old and not dated in about 3 to 4 years after too many disappointing attempts and even long-term relationships since my divorce many years ago. I'm not really against finding a partner or at least attempting to find a partner, but I can't stand the online scene. I don't run into anyone in my life, and I am really busy and get out quite a bit, but I never run into anybody. I believe I'm very intelligent. I have a doctorate. I retired, but I still work in many different capacities. I'm a consultant. I feel like I'm a really interesting person. I'm active. I'm still reasonably attractive, but I've also found that I'm not attracted to men of my age group, many of whom, at least the ones I run into, even at the gym, are quite out of shape. So I find myself to be in a conundrum. I hang out with my friends a lot, with my family. I'm pretty, I guess, set in my ways. So I just found your recent episode to really resonate with me.
The show's very good, very well done. The one thing that hasn't been touched upon as yet is for people that are trying to meet somebody but aren't having as much success. And I realize the show wants to be positive and all that, but there are many people, myself included, that it's been very difficult for. And that's also an aspect of dating while gray, is that it's hard to meet somebody.
I'm in a men's group. It has several single men and several married men. Well, it's about 8 of us. And the questions of being alone the rest of our lives have come up, and loneliness. But I enjoyed hearing from Michelle in a recent podcast, who said, you know, if she had tickets for the Kennedy Center, she has all these women friends that would go, but not men friends. I'd love to do that. And I don't care if someone pays for it, or, you know, this whole power dynamic she was talking about seems ridiculous to me. I guess I've always been drawn to women who are strong. Anyway, I'm 65. I've been out of, separated the last 2 years. And before that, we had 2 years in marriage therapy that led nowhere, except to the point where you learn that you can't be the best you can be in that relationship. So it was a good thing. I wanted a resolution and the marriage to resume, but that's not what happened. So I'm happier.
One of the things that I haven't heard addressed very specifically is which online dating sites or which dating apps are basically most friendly for older adults. And it would be helpful, actually, if you all could do that.
Thanks, listeners. As for that last comment about the best online site, well, it doesn't seem that long ago that everyone our age was basically on the big three, Match, eHarmony, Our Time. But now I'm talking with gray daters who've tried a variety of sites, Hinge, Facebook Dating, OkCupid, Tinder, Christian Mingle, Meet Mindful, Silver Singles. Which ones did I forget? And honestly, it doesn't seem like one is better than another. As one listener wrote, I had really good luck with Bumble, but Zoosk was like the Wild West. It was recommended to me by a fellow widow who is dating up a storm. Maybe it's a regional thing. She's from Vermont, and if her date passed to a second, she would test them on a miles-long snowshoe hike to see if they were worth a third date. Ugh, great idea. Dating While Gray listeners have also tried Field, which is for people open-minded about exploring gender and sexuality outside the traditional norms. In fact, one woman emailed to say she's, quote, met some very nice people who are intelligent and open-minded and different from others I've known, which I like. Had some new experiences, made new friends, even went through the biggest heartbreak of my life. Still processing that. Thanks for sharing, listener. I really need to follow up for a podcast interview. Speaking of sex, you know I like to explore the topic whenever possible, because there is so much to talk about. One conversation I had in early spring got a lot of people's attention. It was with a woman we called Kate for the episode Sex on My Mind. This is what Kate said about why her longtime marriage was ending.
Well, the first time that I really seriously thought about ending the marriage was, I think around 7 years in. I had three children by then. And he, one night in bed, confessed that he had been looking at pornography. So for me, that was huge. I hated pornography. I still do. I don't like what it does to men. I don't like what it represents. And I felt like it was an invasion on my marriage. I felt like it was, he was actually cheating on me. I think the marriage bed should be kept pure. And that means from pornography as well. And so I was ready to leave.
You weren't suspicious or anything, but he felt burdened, I guess, and wanted to tell you that he had been looking at pornography.
That's right. That's right. I was not suspicious. He told me, and I had a shock reaction. I actually called my friend who is a psychologist. I called her in the middle of the night, just shaking. Like, right after he told me, I was shaking, and I was in shock because I just felt like it was the hugest attack. Like, this was the end of my marriage, is what I felt. Marriage as I pictured it, I should say. A lot of women will put up with pornography. A lot of women don't mind. They don't care. But for me, it was super offensive.
I'm just curious. Do you think that your reaction would have been the same if he had confessed that he had feelings for a real life person?
Absolutely. It would have been the same. I think, especially back then, I was very insecure because I had been hurt many times. So I was looking for a forever love and someone to feel super secure with. And that was, again, just whipped out from underneath me.
A betrayal.
It was a betrayal. It is a betrayal. What I did the very next day was I started every day taking out thousands of dollars to go and take the kids and leave. The bank swallowed my card and I couldn't get any more money. By this time, he caught on and said, well, let's go to counseling. So we did. And I also demanded that he get tested by a psychologist who specializes in sexual deviance to make sure he wasn't sexually deviant and a danger to my kids. And he did. He jumped through all of the hoops and I stayed.
I'm thinking some people might wonder, was it, I hate to say, vanilla pornography?
It was. And I think it still is. Fast forward to now, he's still addicted.
If he hadn't told you, would you have thought, okay, why aren't we as close physically as we used to be? Or did his behaviors with you seem different?
Yes. At first, it was demanding more and more and more and couldn't get enough. And I was going, hold on. And he would get insulted. You know, you're not giving me enough, and complain and everything. But then after a while, like years later, I'd say 15 years later, it was more a loss of interest, or try not to get too graphic, but during, I would notice it was a lot different. It was not a closeness. It was more a shallow, mechanical act.
You didn't feel like it was bringing you closer emotionally?
No. It was a duty. It was a task. Get it done and get away from me. That kind of thing.
But you stayed. I mean, it was only recently that you left, yes?
That's right. He jumped through all those hoops. He had to go to see a psychologist. We had to go to marriage counseling. He had to work on his problem. And, you know, the whole time I thought he was, and I thought he'd be getting better. And I didn't even want to talk about it because it brought a trauma response in me to even talk about it. So I would rarely bring it up because I'd get so unsettled. But then I would always find a magazine, or I'd get some indicator that it was still a problem throughout all those years. And that would send me far away again, like just emotionally.
I found Kate's perspective disturbing. She came across to me as sexually repressed and judgmental. But he had jumped through all the counseling hoops she demanded of him, and he remained committed to their marriage. Clearly, the church played no small part in the relationship dynamic between these two. I get that. I was in an evangelical marriage for 25 years, and we had some of the same sorts of issues.
A similar response came from a man in his early 50s. He wrote, quote, "When I saw a sex episode in my feed, I had to download it and listen. Who doesn't want a window into other people's sex lives? But I have to say, I was disappointed. So much time was spent on the woman who was traumatized when she learned her ex-husband used porn, and she equated it to cheating. There's a big difference between looking at porn and having sex with another person in real life. You provided no pushback at all." The woman also said something about how some women hated when their men look at porn and some women tolerate it. What about those women who enjoy looking at porn themselves? End quote. Women who enjoy porn. That brings me to this caller.
Hi, Laura. I have a question. Is it strange for women to watch porn? I ask because I've been watching since I got divorced a couple of years ago. One day, I was at home alone, and I was just Google 6XXX. All kinds of websites popped up. I clicked on the first one and started watching men masturbate. I watched it on my phone for a while, and then I didn't watch it for months. About a month or two ago, I started back watching, and it makes me feel calm and relaxed, but I hadn't told any of my friends because I feel ashamed. I worry that my friends will think I'm not normal. Is this normal?
Okay, to set the record straight, I believe there is nothing inherently wrong with watching porn between consenting adults. I did not push back on Kate because she was sharing her opinion. And for her, porn use equals betrayal. What I see as the real problem is that Kate and her now ex were not on the same page. But instead of having that conversation or getting help with that conversation, she insisted he stop and he pretended that he had stopped. That's a disconnect. On that episode, I also interviewed intimacy coach Anna Marti. We did not talk about porn then, but she got in touch after hearing Kate's story. Here's what she said.
So much of the conversation about pornography, can we call it adult content? Implies moral disapproval and a litany of inaccurate statements on the effects of viewing adult content. I can say professionally that these inaccurate statements perpetuate a climate where couples avoid seeing clearly what is really wanting to be addressed. Insecurity regarding sexual performance, body image issues, difficulty communicating what we want, don't want, as well as an infinite number of relationship issues that may have nothing to do with intimacy or sex, but are difficult to speak about. People are drawn to pornography, adult content, as to alcohol, drugs, shopping, food, web surfing, to self-soothe, to numb out, to avoid or escape addressing challenges or anxieties in other parts of their life, but also to seek pleasure in a world that can feel overwhelming. If it begins to feel compulsive, if it interferes with your life and relationships, you're not feeding the cat, you're not feeding yourself, or retreating from family work and other activities, by all means, avail yourself of professional support. All the arguments against porn, exploitation of women, wrong ideas about sex, reduction of interest in partner sex, infidelity, all of these existed before the internet and before pornography. As to your female caller's question regarding her consumption of adult content after her divorce, many women withdraw from sex with a partner because, frankly, the sex they're having hasn't been worth wanting. Consuming adult content can open the door to learning more about what's pleasurable to you. It's private. It doesn't involve a conversation about you want, what you want or don't want, and how that can change during arousal. And you're never rejected. If it's pleasurable, please enjoy.
Thanks, Anna. And speaking of experts, I've had Michael Castleman on the show a couple of times. His most recent book is Sizzling Sex for Life, Everything You Need to Know to Maximize Erotic Pleasure at Any Age. In it, he includes information that he says attempts to address women's concerns over their male partner's porn habit. Michael also says he's heard from many women in anguish, his word, because their male partners would rather self-sex to porn than engage in partner lovemaking. Michael calls that a red flag. Okay, I think that's enough porn talk for now. But we've got more about Michael Castleman and how his comments on sexual performance impacted at least one listener. Plus, we get really angry. That's all after the break. It's that time of year for gift giving and for goal setting. Know what fits both categories? Learning a new language with Rosetta Stone. It's the trusted language learning program for 30 years, available on desktop or as an app. And it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. They offer 25 languages with fast acquisition designed for long-term retention. Plus, the built-in True Accent feature gives you feedback on your pronunciation. Rosetta Stone is also convenient. Learn anytime, anywhere, on your own schedule. And here's an amazing value. A lifetime membership offers access to all 25 language courses. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a short time, Dating While Gray listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership holiday special. This offer will not last long. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today today for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving. Okay, women, who among us has not had hormonal issues? We're not only dealing with changes our bodies go through, but also hormonal disruptors in our environment. The good news is there's help. It's by Happy Mammoth, and it's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And maybe the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews of Hormone Harmony, and there are more than 30,000 reviews to date. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY for 15% off today. I love this time of year because whether it's a pullover or a button-up, I love sweaters. Quince is my go-to site. They're known for Mongolian cashmere sweaters priced from $50. In fact, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's because they partner directly with top factories. That cuts out the cost of the middleman, allowing the savings to be passed on to customers like you and me. And Quince works only with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing processes. So check out their sweaters. They also have beautiful leather jackets and so much more. Get cozy in Quince's high-quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/datingwhilegray for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/datingwhilegray to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/datingwhilegray. I'm Laura Stassi, and we're back with a listener mailbag on this episode of Dating While Gray, the grown-up's guide to love, sex, and relationships. Before the break, you heard me mention sex journalist Michael Castleman. Recently, I shared portions of my Facebook Live conversation with Michael. He had a lot of thoughts to share, including this one.
And, you know, as you get older, your eyes go bad, your hearing goes bad, you can't smell as well as you used to, you don't taste as well as you used to. But the one sense that does not diminish with age is the sense of touch. And so as other senses start to fade out, the sense of touch remains extremely acute, and some people say even becomes more acute with age. And since lovemaking is really about mutual loving touch, the older you get, the more fun you can have, as long as you let go of the idea that sex is about intercourse. Because when you get older, intercourse becomes increasingly problematic. Older men have erection issues. Older women have vaginal lubrication and dryness issues. And at a certain point in the 50s and people's 60s, they just start thinking, my God, you know, even with Viagra, this is like a hassle trying to accomplish intercourse. Let's not do that anymore. Let's play in all the other ways that you can. And sex therapists even have a word for it, that you let go of intercourse and you embrace what they call outer course, which is everything but. And there's a whole lot of wonderfully marvelous fun things that are open to lovers who just give outer course a chance.
That prompted one listener to tell me that overall he found Michael interesting and insightful. However,
hi, Laura. This is my comment on Michael Castleman's interview, which I enjoyed very much. I think Michael Castleman sounded a bit too pessimistic on the topic of intercourse. He seemed to give the impression that erectile dysfunction drugs don't work a lot of the time. I imagine they don't always work, and they certainly won't be perfect. But I'm 64 and have found them wonderfully effective. I've also found that among the women I've gotten close to, their interest in sex, including intercourse, has been way beyond my expectations. Michael indicated that intercourse might become pretty rare, but I see no signs of it going away yet. My current partner is 66. Michael is right, though, that lube is your friend.
Thanks, caller, for sharing. Sex is a topic I'll continue to dig into, because I'm learning there's a fairly large spectrum of experiences and attitudes. Plus, I happen to find sex fun to talk about. So maybe you remember the episode Anger Management. I noted studies that show as people get older, they get happier. But that doesn't mean it comes naturally or easily, especially if we go through a later in life romantic split. That's a permanent course change, and it can lead to emotions that can be very destructive. I interviewed two people on that episode, including my high school friend, Bill. We've kept in touch over the years, mainly through social media. He knows I love music and that I've been through some stuff. Bill loves music and he's been through some stuff too. One day he sent me a song that to me sounds angry, but Bill finds it motivational.
I think heavy metal music is rage in itself, but I think that I find some of the heavy that I listen to, you know, you're just enjoying the workout. You're not even paying attention to the lyrics. And I was listening to Pandora, I don't know, iHeartRadio, something, and the song came on, and I was like, I'm going to go home and search those lyrics. So Take Back Your Life by Disturbed just became like an anthem, and I actually printed the lyrics so that I could read them on more occasions. The lyrics are just, take back your life, you got to let them know you won't be denied. Take back your life, time to take it back again. Make it worth reminding yourself. Don't let this moment pass you by. You know, it's just like, don't sit there and watch it fall apart. There is no one coming to save you. You've got to make your stand now. Stop bleeding from a broken heart and take time to let go of what used to be now. I mean, is that not separation, anxiety, divorce, rage, with beautiful lyrics?
I also talked with a recently divorced woman we called Anne. This is what it sounds like inside an event space designed to help people get some rage out. I'm with a woman in her early 50s. She works in higher ed. She told me her therapist recommended she get in touch with her anger. So we're throwing bottles and drinking glasses against a concrete wall. I'm happy to lend a hand and a sledgehammer. That's us beating up a car. To be honest, it was pretty beat up to begin with. Still, all in all, our mild version of raging felt good. This episode struck a chord. One woman wrote, really appreciated your show. I too had a hard time getting to anger, likely in part because I've spent 30 years not getting angry over things that were not huge. My therapist was so frustrated. But at that stage, I had the attitude of, he's left and says there's absolutely nothing I can do. I didn't want to torment myself like I saw my mother do when her marriage ended. And from another listener, totally connected with Bill and Anne and their stories. I was divorced 5 years ago, and even after years of therapy, have moments of frustration and anger. Like Bill, attending a men's support group has been helpful. My song this week was I Don't Care Anymore from Phil Collins. Phil used many of his songs to process his divorce and made money off his expressed hurt. Smart guy, end quote. Speaking of anger, I got a lot of it from a lot of you last fall. It was all about comments I was making as co-host of Slate's Golden Bachelor Recap podcast. Now, I've already done an entire Dating While Gray episode talking about that controversy. No need for me to rehash. I will note, however, that I'm getting emails and comments on social media asking me what I think about the Golden Bachelorette. Well, Slate is not doing a recap podcast, if you haven't noticed. So I'm going to keep my feelings to myself, except I will admit I'm not watching the show. Sorry, it does seem to be a bit more rooted in reality, but at the end of the day, it's a TV show. I'd much rather do a deep dive into the real of older adult dating, my own experiences, and living vicariously through all of you. I do love hearing from you, and there's so much more to explore, including these two tips.
Hi, Laura. I just sent you a message on the website to start a follow-up with your lovely voice widget, just to try it, really. Hope you're well. Yes, so just to sort of follow up, really, I represent a chap, he's 72. He's got really good stories to tell about romance and love second time around. He's led an interesting life. He's just recently retired and he's recording his first album and making music videos and stuff. So, yeah, he's just quite an interesting chap, really. Appreciate you're busy, and you probably get requests like this all the time, but love to hear back from you. Thanks for listening. Speak to you soon. Cheers.
My brother got divorced a couple of years ago after 17 years of marriage, and he tried Match.com and went out on several dates, but nothing really clicked chemistry-wise, and he was kind of getting discouraged. He is 60 years old, and he loved traveling with his ex-wife when they were married, but of course that went away. So he decided to travel solo to Croatia. He met another passenger in the rain outside this cafe, and they started to talk, and they went inside, and they really shared with each other. It turns out that she's 69 and 67, I apologize, and just basically was divorced by her husband after 42 years of marriage. So both my brother and her decided, I never thought that love would come their way again. But they made this connection, they hung out on the boat, and since then, which has been about since last April, they've been traveling to see each other. She lives in Oregon, he lives in Knoxville, and they're spending time together in each other's places and traveling together. They're in Mexico this week, but they found love while dating while gray. So I thought that might be an interesting thing to feature on your show. I haven't told my brother about this call, but if you're interested, I will, and see if you'd like to participate. Thanks for listening.
Dating While Gray's audio production and mix is by Steve Lack Audio. Theme music by D. Peter Schmidt. Please like and follow Dating While Gray wherever you get podcasts. That way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're so inclined, leave a review letting everyone know what you love about us. For more on the show, check out datingwhilegray.com. That's where you can find bonus content, along with links to send me questions, comments, tips, and true stories through email and voicemail. You know I love hearing from you. You can also sign up for the free Dating While Gray e-newsletter, delivered most Fridays to your inbox. Also at datingwhilegray.com, click on the Sponsors tab to find discount codes from our show sponsors. Please support the companies that support Dating While Gray. To make a more personal gift, click on the Support Us tab. Again, that's all at datingwhilegray.com. I'm Laura Stassi. Thanks so much for listening.